because you don't work or go to school, you think you can sleep in, right?
Yeah.
And then it's like you go to the gym later and stuff like that. It's like,
yeah,
you know, whatever you thought you was going to get done with that time, you know, cleaning your room, doing your homework, etc., like ain't going to get done, you know?
Yeah, because you chilling in the crib because you had a free day. Whole time, you could have been productive.
So, yeah, I'm a power through and just go at 5 a.m. tomorrow to the gym just because, you know, so then I can have the whole day.
I mean, it's already the schedule anyway. So might as well just stick to it. At least, you know, like, you're going to be off work. Well, do you work tomorrow?
No. Oh, no. Yes. Yeah, I do. I close. So it's just like when I have school.
Okay.
You know, except during the hours that I'd be at school, I want to be doing more work.
Yeah, okay. Because I know, I'm off on Mondays anyway, so it don't even matter for me for real. But yes, y'all, we are back with the Wolfpack Podcast, episode 6. I know we took like a week, like 2 weeks off, you know what I'm saying? Had to get life together, but we back in it. I'm Tori.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we're going to hop right into it. So I've been seeing lately, like on Instagram and stuff like that, a lot of like barbershop videos and stuff like that. And bro, I'm not going to lie, it's a lot of I've seen a lot of female barber pages, bro. And the thing is, bro, they're not like just regular girls that's cutting hair. Like, these are like baddies that are like cutting hair, and they do it to where you can get your hair braided, retwist, all that, and the cut sitting in her chair. So it's like she can make all the money, because instead of you getting your hair braided by a shorty and then going to the barbershop to get the cut after, you just do both in the chair.
Yeah.
It's just like, bro, like, these dudes better figure something out, boy. Y'all better start learning how to braid, bro, because these girls are coming, bro. It's like they, and they doing a decent job. Like, they doing good.
I mean, they say, bro, you know, nobody knows what's attractive to a female more than a female. So, like, females, when they cut your hair, like, they know what, like, you know, it'll be fine because they know what to do to make you look good.
Oh, yeah, because it's like, they going to be looking at you anyway. Like, girls going to be looking at you anyway, so it's like, they going to know how,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? They going to know how attractive it's going to look on you.
Right, like, you know, if I was a barber, and I cut a lot of females or did their hair, whatever, and like, you know, some girl came in and said she wanted, you know, 2-strand twists. Pete, that knowledge. But, you know, I would know how to do it to make it look right, because I've seen it. I've seen it around.
He said, peep that knowledge.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God, bro.
Dude, maybe do a little butterfly locks, bro.
Nah. Somebody gave this man a dictionary on female haircuts, bro.
I already know you gonna cut that part out.
Crazy. Yes, I'm going on there, bro.
2-strand twists and butterfly.
2-strand twists is crazy, bro.
Box braids. You know what I'm saying?
Box braid. Okay.
They was talking in the work group chat. One of my boys, he put up a picture of one of our managers. She had like took his phone and took a photo of herself and stuff. He put it in the chat, and she had a wig on.
Yeah.
And I put it in the chat. I said, damn, I can see that lace. That's foul. And they was like, not you learning, Jerry. Not you learning.
Like, bro, yes, sir. Now he knowing what to look for. If that shit lifts right at the forehead.
Yeah, man.
She need to go press that down. Yeah. Nah, I be seeing though.
Get that little head, the little head down.
Yeah, that little.
uh,
okay.
I know too much.
He know too much.
I know some things, brother.
Nah, but this is a new one I seen, like spur of the moment. I was doing private security like a few weeks ago. And one of the ladies I was doing security for, she had started sweating, so it kind of started coming up a little bit. Oh, no. I seen this thing. She said, "Oh shit, where my sunglasses?" So she just put the sunglasses up like this.
Yep.
And it just laid it down, bro. I ain't seen that. Damn, so, shorties, if y'all don't know, and you ain't got no wrap or nothing, you know, you got to put them sunglasses up like that. It'll press it down. You feel me? But yes, bro. I was just thinking, like, a lot of these female barbers, they coming up because, like, for about a year, I used to get my hair done and braided by a female barber. And she did a good job and stuff like that. So, and then it was just more convenient because, like, I would get my hair braided and then go get a cut. Just wasting gas. And then it was better then because she was doing house calls. So she'll wash my hair, braid my hair, then cut my hair. And I ain't go nowhere. Feel me? And then when she started working at the salon, I go up there, hair braided, cut one time. Dip. So I was just saying, boy, like, man, they doing a good job for real. But yes, bro. Cause if I was a barber, I'd probably try to braid. And I know, like, a lot of dudes probably don't want to do all that, but it's the new wave, big dog.
Compete, bro. Yeah.
Cause these girls is coming, bro. They're coming.
Like, if I ever did anything more with my hair, like, you know, like if I decided to, I don't know, like get a perm or something, or, you know, grow it out like lengthy and stuff and maybe do things to it.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd go to a dude barber anymore. Like, you know, eventually when it became, like, you know, longer, like, real hair, I guess, you know, that's when I would, you know, let a female handle that. Because they just know better, I feel like, than you do, you know.
Yeah.
They know what look better. They know how to take care of, you know, their hair better and stuff, you know. Or, you know, like you said, just being multi-talented and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of dudes just know how to fade.
That's it.
Yeah.
But they can't cut no hair, or they can't, like, do a hair, like, you know, do braids and all like that. Cause I get my hair braided. I'm sure y'all seen on the channel, like, I don't have my hair braided before. That's like my favorite. Like, I don't have hair on the sides. I got a do-rag on cause my hair look bad. But like, I don't have no hair on the sides or in the back. I got ball fade all the way around, and I do 6 cornrows right to the back. Like, that's my style. And every now and then I switch it up, but yes, bro, I'm telling you, that year that I was going to her, bro, it was literally like the best thing, because I could get get both done in the same day. But yes, bro. Yes, bro. But yeah.
Right. Which one you want to talk about first? Growing older or why in Black church?
We can do, let's do the growing older, bro. Cause honestly, bro, I could talk about that all day. Cause what
about white and Black church?
Yeah.
Bro, it's so different.
It is different. But basically, bro, it's just thinking, like, the older we get, a lot of shit that we thought was old is gonna be ancient to, like, our kids. Cause you gotta think, like, Tupac, Biggie died in the mid late 90s, about 30 years ago. By the time we have kids, bro, and we thinking and we listening to that old music, and our kids gonna be like, "What is this?" You gotta think. Pac and Biggie, to them, is gonna be like Ray Charles to us. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because, like, Ray Charles is in the 50s and the 60s. So that's, like, old school. And Tupac and Biggie just died, like, 3 or 4 years before we were born. So it's, like, 25 years ago. And that's kind of, like, the music we slick grew up on because our parents and stuff like that, but that's going to be ancient to them. That's going to be like 50, 60 years from now. Yeah. When they like in high school and we listen and they listening to that stuff and we still listening to it, they're going to be like, we're going to be like, man, this was before me and your time. You know what I'm saying? This came out in 95. I was born in 2000. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
No, I mean, I think about like, because you know, my dad is old or older for a dad. And yeah. He was 40 when I was born.
Yeah.
So he was already past listening to current music at the time. So I was like, I'm not going to say like sheltered, but like, you know, until I was old enough to figure out how to access and handle a radio and stuff like that, you know, All the music I heard was my dad's music. And it was from the 60s and 70s. Yeah. I mean, it was good stuff. But the thing is, like, when I'm older, like, and I'm showing my kids what I listened to as a kid, it's going to be close to, like, say if I have kids at my dad's age at 40, it'd be almost 100 years old.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying. You know, everything that I knew as a kid. And that's just crazy. You know, right. Like, by the time I'm 70, I'm listening to what I used to listen to as a kid. It'll be stuff that's 100 years old.
Hell yeah. Like, think about, like, we're going to be in our 60s and 70s, and we're going to be forgetting about songs and artists until we hear it again when we're that old. Like,
yeah,
eventually, we're going to forget about, like, Maroon 5 and all them, we just going to be somewhere, and it's going to bring back so many memories when we hear it.
There's just too many artists that we'll have known at that point. I think about that a lot about, I'm not going to say, like, old people brain, but, like, what it would be like to have just a brain that's, like, lived that long and that many memories, bro. Like, and I'll think about it, like, weird, like, all the time. Like, I think I was driving to work the other day, and I was just thinking, like, all this stuff has been here since I was born. Most of it, at least. Like, I couldn't imagine being, I don't know, 70, 80, and, like, knowing what it all looked like
before. Yeah.
And knowing that people are growing up and becoming adults and never knew what it was like before. And you just have to, like, live with this information that nobody else knows or cares about. And it's kind of sad, bro. You know, like, I love history. You know, and in my history class, I pay attention.
Yeah.
But everybody else thinks the teacher's boring, you know, and he's like, I think he's like 70 or something. He's teaching about the Vietnam War and stuff, and people are, you know, dozing off or like on their phones. And it's kind of like, you know, it's like those are like his memories.
Like, he was there, like, literally. Yeah.
But like, you have to talk to people that, like, it was, like, you know what I mean? Like, it was before them and before their parents, and so they just don't care.
Yeah.
You know, and we're going to have to deal with that.
Because it's kind of like, you know? It's like nowadays, a lot of young people, if it don't directly do something for them, then, like, they don't care.
But that's how it's always been, bro. I think the big, like, misconception that everybody's running around with is that our parents' generation was any different.
Yeah.
Or the ones before them. You know what I mean? Like, my dad grew up in the, like, rock era where, you know, they're like, you know, stick it to the man. And they're, you know, like, you know, rebelling against the government, protests for Vietnam or civil rights, right? Like, you know, it's always been like that. It's always been that one generation grows up and they see things they don't like, right? And they change it. But, like, I think you can only dream of so much change. And so it's like the next has to come in.
Kind of like pick up where you left off.
More. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I saw something the other day, bro. It's fucking nuts. And, I mean, I'm not going to say it's a privilege, but I would say it's a privilege that this is something that can be deemed as a problem. But this woman was talking about how there's a social stigma with mixed racial babies, and that people romanticize them too much, right?
Okay.
And basically, like, 100% black or 100% white babies are just as cute as biracial babies.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, it's true. But it's like, you know what I mean? Like, someone like my dad's generation would, like, dream of that being a problem. Because when they were living, it wasn't, it's like, that wasn't even allowed.
It wasn't even allowed.
Like, you didn't even have that going on.
Yeah.
So it's like, what I'm saying is, like, the problems, they grow and they change differently. You know?
Yeah, it's kind of like, take somebody, like a black person and a white person from the 60s or the 50s, mm-hmm. and put them into 2023, where you have interracial relationships all over the place now.
Yeah.
Not just in secret. You have interracial relationships and mixed babies. They have a heart attack.
Yeah. And that's how I feel about getting old. I feel like I'll get old, and I feel like hopefully the problems that we have seen in our generation come to pass. And then it's like the younger generation will be like complaining about shit that we can't even understand. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, because, you know, a generation that fought for interracial marriage is going to look at what I just said and be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, you know, but, like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, it's just, that's what I think about getting old, is, like, losing touch with, A, like, problems, losing touch with music, just, like, but that's why I try to stop and talk to old people, bro, like, when I see them, because I just feel like it's a lonely world, bro.
Yeah, I used to talk to my granddad all the time. I used to ask him questions. I remember one time, because he was in high school in the 60s. So I asked him, I was like, so how was it back then? Like, you know, as far as segregation in schools. And he was like, because my granddad grew up in like the Macon, like middle Georgia area. So he was saying he and his classmates were one of the first schools in Georgia to integrate into a white school. And he said it was so much tension, like, in the school building, because it's like, you know, you sharing classrooms, you sharing the hallways with like, you know, with white people. And then white people feel the same way, because, like, they don't, because you got to think, even though you on two different sides of the coin, you still feel the same way. You know what I'm saying? Like, white people feel about how black people, because of what they were brought up and learn, and black people feel they way about white people because how they grew up and learn. But that same tension, that same jitterness, walking by each other, not knowing what the other person gonna do, that's the same for both. You know what I'm saying? So I could just imagine, like if you put me now back then, honestly, bro, I probably would have been beat up or dead, because like it would be so hard for me not to talk to other race people. Because this is how I grew up and how I was raised about the schools I went to. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, hearing stories and stuff like that is crazy. Because you just don't know. And like...
Right. And it's just like you said about, you know, you grow up and you think a certain thing. So it's like, your grandpa grew up in that. It's like, I bet it's hard for him to conceptualize and fathom the society we live in today.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that's just like, you know, that's the thing. Like I one of my tattoos is "To Everything There's a Season," which is a song that my dad used to play for me when I was growing up. There's a group called The Birds, mm-hmm. and they predated like the Beatles, and they did like pop. And so they made that song just talking about, like, you know, there's a season for everything. There's a, you know, a time to cry, a time to heal, time to love, and time for war. But like, nobody my age knows, like, they look at it and they don't know what it is. And I remember I was like at work, and some like really old guy came in, and he was like looking at it, and he like, I could tell he was like
reminiscing.
Yeah. And he like didn't want to say anything to me, or because he probably was in his head like, there's no way that's what it is. Because it's like he's in a world he doesn't recognize anymore. And I told him what it was. And we talked like on the side for like 10 minutes or so. But it's like, you know, like, just imagine like being so confused all the time about like this new world that you live in. And then like you just have like that one moment of like,
to where you can like go back and reminisce.
Like understanding. Or like he understands what I lived.
Yeah, and then it's like, and then it's like, you being so young at the same time, he's kind of surprised that, like, wow, like,
wouldn't it be weird if we go, me and you, like, go to a restaurant one day and we're like 70, and some kid's got a tattoo. Some dude that's like 22, you know, he's got a tattoo. It's like, you know, I don't know, like Mike Jones.
Yeah, or like Mike Jones or like Paul Wall or some shit. We like looking at him like, what?
Yeah.
I feel you.
R.I.P. Paul Walker.
Yeah, exactly. Like, those, you don't know that man. We know Brian Spielmer.
But you know what I'm saying? You know, there's a beauty in that, though, in that when it gets to that point, it's like, you know, it's your time to go. Like, I think when that point comes, like, I'm not going to worry about if my dick get hard and shit or if I am fit and healthy, like if I'm sick and stuff at that time. Like, I feel like when it gets to that point, like, you're ready to go anyways.
Yeah.
Because, like, everything that you know is gone. Like, it's kind of like, you know, when I was getting out of the Army. Because, you know, like, everybody, they go to a certain station and they do their contract and then they leave. So it's like when I got to the platoon in 2019, everybody, you know, was serving out their 3-year contract at the time, right? Mm-hmm. So you can imagine when I served my 3 years, everybody that was there when I got there was gone.
Yeah, so it was a completely new
face. Like, it was a completely different group that welcomed me and a completely different group
that sent
me off.
Yeah.
And that's the same for life. You know, when you're born into the world, you're welcomed by a certain group, and then you're ushered out by basically your own descendants.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I just feel like at that point, like, you're ready. Like, the world that you know is gone, you know? Like, say you knew who was, you know, you knew the manager of the McDonald's on some street. Now it's his grandson.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that'd be fucking nuts.
Or, bro. like, they'll have a statue of Aaron Rodgers in like 2060, and kids are like reading about him, but we actually watched him on TV.
Tom Brady, bro.
Or Tom Brady or Michael Vick, or, you know what I'm saying?
I feel like Brady will be like the Michael Jordan, like in like, I don't know, 20 years.
There'll be
some new quarterback, and like all the kids are going to be like, Tom Brady's a bum.
They're
like, this guy's better.
They're going to be comparing, like, when we're old, bro, they're going to be comparing the new NBA stars to LeBron. When we watch LeBron his whole career. We watch Dwayne Wade. We watch Shaq and all them. You see what I'm saying?
Like, ain't nobody really finna be talking about Jordan for real.
Ain't nobody
going to... That's just how it is, you know? Like,
Jordan going to be almost an afterthought. Like, we going to know him because his shoes ain't never going nowhere.
Yeah.
But then a lot of people is just going to know him for his shoes and not that he actually played back, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it's kind of like baseball. Like, you get to a certain point in, like, baseball conversations, like, it's like no one's finna be, like, you know, talking about, like, a GOAT conversation and, like, talking about Ty Cobb or, like, Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
Because it's just kind of like...
Freddie Freeman or somebody.
They're so old that it's, like...
Like, pre-outdated. It almost
seems...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's, like, I don't know, comparing, like, a lion to a T-Rex, like, it's like,
and then like,
you know,
and then like
two different time periods.
And then like, when you try to bring up like our old athletic heroes and the stuff we used to do, kids gonna look at you like, who, what?
Yeah,
cars might be floating in 2050. You know what I'm saying? We gonna be like, y'all would never know what it felt like to change a tire, put air in a tire. You know what I'm saying? Buy a tire. You know,
I can already tell like the stuff I'm going to say when I'm older. Like, you know, think about this, bro. This is going to probably blow your mind. You remember Turner Field?
Yeah. That's the original Braves stadium I started going to.
Yeah, right. We'd go to the games there. We used to go do that hunger walk over by...
Hunger walk, all over that,
by
bro.
Turner Field.
Yeah.
Because that was when it was in Atlanta. Now they got SunTrust. Ah, fucked up. Truist Park.
Truist Park
now. It's over there in Cobb. So we're going to be, like, older, bro, and, like, some kid's going to hear us talk about Turner Field.
We'll be 60 hanging at the battery.
Be like, these motherfuckers are, like, Yeah, these lovers are fossils.
They don't even, yeah, exactly.
Talking about Turner Field.
Turner
Field. Talking about the Georgia Dome.
Exactly, the Georgia Dome.
See, the time some kid says some shit like that to me or like looks at me crazy when I say the Georgia Dome or Turner Field, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
I'll be like, yeah, I can die.
Because my spirit is broken.
I can die out at now that point. Because these fuckers don't know the Georgia Dome.
Yeah, that's crazy to think you about. Know?
But, I mean, it's going to happen because both of them, except for Turner Field, the Georgia Dome's gone.
Yeah.
They fucking wrecked it. But what, Georgia State plays in Turner Field now, right?
I don't know.
No, sorry. I don't know why I asked that when I know the answer. Yes, they do.
Yeah.
It's their football stadium.
Yeah.
But it's weird, bro, because they kept the same chairs. It's kind of ghetto. Like,
oh, you've been?
Yeah.
So like to watch the football game?
Yeah, my dad made me go to one when I was in high school. So I don't, it could have changed because that was like 6 years ago. But
yeah,
something tells me it hasn't because, you know, it's Georgia State and it's UGA. Because, you know, people that go to Georgia State, they're commuter students anyways. They're not tripping about no football team, but
yeah.
Like the seats are like the Brave seats still.
And to kind of like piggyback off like how we were talking about like the interracial relationships and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's crazy that like even now there's still problems with that. You know what I'm saying? Like for example, like I got family members that don't agree with me that I participate in a racial relationship.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they say, why can't you be with a black girl? Or why can't you only be with a black girl? Ain't nothing wrong with a black queen. And they are 100% correct. There's nothing wrong with a black queen. I love my women and I love my people.
Ain't nothing wrong at all.
You know what I'm saying? But
I'm just agreeing with you. Ain't nothing wrong with snow bunnies either.
But what I'm saying is like this though. It's like when I date and I see a Asian girl and she cute, and I see a black girl, she cute. I see a white girl, she cute. I see a Latina girl, she cute. Filipino girl, she cute. Mm-hmm. When I see a cute girl, I don't think, oh, that's a cute white girl. That's a cute black girl. Same. That's a cute Latina girl. I just think, damn, that's a cute girl. You feel me? Like, I don't limit myself as far as, like, dating-wise to categorize girls like that. You know what I'm saying? Because in my mind, love don't got a color. Love is love, bro. Mm. You feel me? And sometimes it kind of like hurt, like, I ain't gonna lie, it sometimes kind of like hurt my feelings low key because people be thinking I be ignorant and I'm racist because I like to date, you know, outside my race, and I would perfectly be okay if my wife was not African American. That's not saying African American, African don't matter. Like, but I'm not saying that like I don't want a black woman. It's just, I'm not finna just be only looking in one section when there's plenty of women that's ready to love. You see what I'm saying?
I've noticed that. And I'm not gonna say, because I can't speak on it, because I can't relate 100% for really now, but like, I've never necessarily received any type of backlash from anybody in my family for dating women outside my race. I've dated Hispanic, white, black, right? But I've noticed when I've dated black girls that it's like that type of thing, like that type of stuff occurs, you know? Like, yeah. I remember dating this one girl, and it was like, you know, she was just like constantly like having to like remind herself that like it was okay to like date me, like that she wasn't like, you know, any less black or something like that, you know, just because. And like, you know, people made her feel some type of way about it. I remember, like, she sent me a screenshot. She was in this group chat, and they told her, they told her she was trying to be in the house.
Exactly.
If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
And it's just like, why, bro? You know, like,
yeah.
Like, why is this a thing? You know, because, and I never quite know what to say to it, because I obviously, like, that's not my business. That's not my place to say.
Yeah.
To comment, to be like, oh, it shouldn't be that way or whatever, you know. But I definitely have noticed it. And it's kind of funny, you know, I think I wish more white people actually did experience what I've experienced in terms of, like, putting themselves out there with other races. You know, I know so many white people that just, they just go with white girls. And it's an interesting thing to be, the only white person in a place with like a black girl and everybody's staring at you. I think it's a good experience because it makes you kind of look at the other side a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
I remember I went to my ex from high school. Her, she had a dance. She was in like a dance company.
Yeah.
She had a performance in like Fairburn. And I went down there. And bro, I'm telling you, it was an auditorium. Had to be like 600 people were in there. Maybe even more.
Full of niggas.
I was like, I never felt so Caucasian, bro. And it, but it humbled me, bro. Like, yeah. I always understood, like I can understand when I'm out somewhere. For instance, like, I don't know, like, church today, you know, like, our church is mostly white.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a couple black people.
It was me and two other people.
And I used to not be able to tell, like, if they would seem uncomfortable, I used to not be able to understand it. It's like, are we not being nice enough? Are we not? But it's like, got nothing to do with that. It's just like,
yeah,
you don't feel like you, when you're around black people, you don't feel like you're black. Then you're around a bunch of white people and you're like, damn, I'm black. Like, there's a bunch of white people. Like, you know, yeah. Like, you feel the difference. So I think
that's what, know, it kind of,
I think that's the thing with the interracial relationships. Like, to, yeah, jump back into that, is that I think it's like, it's just a fear of difference. It's a fear of something that's not the same, you know, like how you know, people write off white guys because they talk to one white guy, or they'll have an interaction with a Hispanic person, they'll be like, oh, you know, Hispanics are like that because, like, we fear,
yeah,
what's different. So I think it's going to be a long time, bro, until interracial relationships are,
like, completely,
really, like, where they need to be, bro.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I've experienced it firsthand. I took this, yeah, girl in LA to this brunch spot.
Yeah.
It was all black people, and it was all just
eyeballing, bro, yeah, boy.
And she didn't talk to me after that.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I guess she couldn't handle that. That,
yeah,
you
know? And then sometimes it's just like, sometimes, bro, it make me not even want to, like, talk about dating with, like, you know, people that look like me, or people in my family that like speak that way, because, like, it make me feel like, damn, like, low key they trying to take my black card for real, you know what I'm saying? So that's why,
yeah,
like, that's why sometimes, like, bro, when it come to, like, my dating life, I just start being quiet. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't take a lot of people to see family or none of that. Like, I just don't, because I don't be wanting to deal with those conversations after.
Right. And, like, and even if they're not, like, disapproving, it's like there's still that, like, slight awkwardness.
Yeah, you know what I'm
like,
saying?
Like, I remember when I got my first girlfriend in, like, middle school, my brother told my grandma, and she was asking questions. She was like, what color is her hair? And I, yeah, was like, well, you know, black. And she was like, what color are her eyes? And I was like, you know, brown. And then it's like, she was starting to get, like,
yeah,
like, I was starting to sense when she was starting to understand, like, you know,
yeah,
the, you know, this ain't no redhead, blonde, brunette, like, you know.
No.
Talking to a sister.
Yeah.
But, What was I about to say, bro? But it's not always bad. Like, I remember when I went to church with old girl down there in South Georgia.
Yeah.
And this can be a good segue into white and black church, because I went to a black church, right?
Yeah.
This one woman, bro, staring at me the whole time. And I was thinking, like, oh, man, like, she about to...
She's probably going to say so.
She about to come up here and start going to fuck off. Right? You know, and... She comes up to us after the service. And she walks up to me. And she was like, "You are so handsome."
Nah.
Like, she just had never seen, like, many white boys in there before.
Yeah.
Or any of them date girls that she knew. You know? Yeah. So, it's just like, sometimes the stares aren't always negative stares. It's just, they're just, you're seeing something you don't usually see, you know?
Yeah, I feel you.
Like, and to furthermore say this too, I think it depends what the coupling is. For instance, nobody really is looking crazy at a black guy and a white girl anymore.
No.
Right. But black girl, white boy, or black guy, Hispanic girl.
Well, I kind of feel like,
you know, Hispanic guy, black, like, they're less common, you know.
I feel like black dude, Hispanic girl, or black girl, Hispanic dude are the most accepted because we are both of color.
Right.
And we kind of had trials and tribulations, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. But you can also,
it's not, I feel like it's not accepted in said households. Like, mm-hmm. as far as
but the public eye.
But in public, it's accepted.
But
if that makes sense.
You see what I'm talking about, though, right, though?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
You know, you see black guys with white girls a lot.
Yeah.
And it's, you're not really, like, you know. And even I'm guilty of it, bro. I'll be real. I'm guilty of it. I'll see a black guy and a white girl, and I don't look twice. If I see a white dude and a black girl, I'm like, my guy.
Yeah, you know, I'm
like, damn, bro, like, good for you. So even I do it, because it's not as common. You don't see it much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Megan Thee Stallion came out about her, when she was laid up with G-Eazy, so I about threw the phone,
sucking on his neck and stuff.
I was like, that's my boy.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, we all guilty of it. It's just shit you don't see often that you draws your attention.
Yeah, I feel you. But yeah.
You know. To segue into that other shit though, like, you know, it's
black and white church.
Yeah, going to black church that time is definitely different.
Yeah, it was. Like, give us the backstory. What happened?
Oh shit. At white people church when they play the songs.
Yeah.
You just kind of stand up, and that's just kind of you time.
Yeah, you kind of just sing along.
You don't even, barely.
Yeah.
You can just stare into the abyss, bro, and like hear it and like think about your like life.
Yeah.
But at black church, bro, man, they gonna
you
think
you lit.
They gonna think you a sinner if you not like.
Yeah.
You know, like just going along. You
get lit.
So I started kind of mastering the, like, when, because I go to black church pretty frequently. Like, when, you know, if I'm, you know, a girl or a friend will bring me or something, you know, so I've started to understand, you know, like, even if, like, I don't know, like, you know, the words and stuff, you know, I'll kind of do a little clap, make sure I stay on rhythm. Sometimes I'll even put my hands out, you know. I'm serious.
Yeah.
You know, just because you can't get caught lacking.
Yeah, they're going to think you're uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, you're going to be confronted by, like, four sisters.
Yeah.
Where you from, brother? You had a good time? Brother Mills? I feel you, though. The only thing I can say about black and white church is white church, that shit started at 10:15. That shit going to start at 10:15. They say,
except today.
They say, well, yeah, not today. But they say, done at 11:10, 11:15, it's done. on time. You're going to get your sermon. You can get your little 15-minute sermon, your four songs, your communion, and you're out of there. Quick, fast, in a hurry, to the point, punctual, boom. Black church, on the other hand, because my mom a preacher and my mom is a singer. So I've been going to, I was born in a church. Bro. Church started at 11. 11:30. First song finna get played for service finna start. They say an hour and a half. Church start at 11. It's like 2:00 PM. And I'm just now finna like get in the crib. And they always have those days where they be like, okay, breakfast after the service. But it's never no breakfast, bro. It's never no breakfast. They be like, okay. They're like, we doing a Sunday. No, I'm saying like, they're like, okay, we're going to do a Sunday breakfast. We're going to have food. And then the preacher up there like, after the service, we're going to have breakfast. Well, nah, we're going to cancel that for the day. Hmm. Never had the Sunday breakfast, bro. The Sunday meal after, bro. Maybe. They're saying the hook of the song like 18 times, bro. And we, I ain't gonna lie, we be lit. One time, bro, Black service had me so lit, I almost cried. Yeah. I was that overwhelmed with emotion in that church, bro. I almost cried.
It's definitely more powerful, bro.
Yes, bro, it's a lot more powerful. But it's, there's good and the bad. Like, Black church, you gonna feel it, you gonna feel rejoice, but they just late
with everything. Like, when I go to my friend church, bro, they be like, you know, the pastor, she gets up there, I swear, she be praying, like, it's like she be talking to you, you know? She, you know, she just be like, you know, if you feel like you're struggling right now, you know, if you feel like, you're like sluggish or you're like not diving into the word enough, like,
yeah,
you're not, you know,
you're like, because you ain't,
you're like,
yeah, you're right,
like, you know,
yeah,
oh man, you know, and I'd be laughing at Black people church too. I don't laugh about white people church, they don't say shit that's funny,
they be trying to make jokes, but it don't be funny.
Gosh, I remember the pastor was talking about at the Black church I went to, he was talking about big G and little G. Basically, if you are okay, if you're a slave to sex, then you're making sex a big G. Big, you got big God.
Yeah.
This is sex, and now God has become a little G. And he was explaining different types of little G's. Money. And then he says sports. And then he was like, you know, some of y'all's little G's are the Falcons. And then he was like, but that little G gonna let you down every time. I was in there laughing, bro. Yeah. Like, that shit was funny.
Yeah. Because he basically, like, doing a double entendre type thing.
But, like, you know, it ain't like that at white people church.
Yeah.
I can't even give an example because I don't remember the jokes that they make.
Do you know how many times they've joked? You know how many times they've joked at our church and me and you just look at each other?
Like, it'll be,
I don't know. The corniest joke ever would just...
Something about college football or
something. Yeah, just something whack. And we'll just look at each other. Yes, bro, it's just not it.
But it's just different. You know, I wouldn't say it's it or not it. It's just different.
No, don't get me wrong. I like both.
Yeah.
I will go to either one. It's just, you know.
Because I feel what you're saying, man. When I go to Black church, I know I'm going to be there all fucking day, bro. Like I
don't ever be bored though.
Like, it's not like I'm bored, but it's like I'm prepared.
Yeah, it's like
you know, homework gonna be done before I go.
Yeah, like
you know what I mean. Like I'm finna eat before I go. I'm gonna make sure I bring water.
Yeah,
you know, so I can hydrate myself. You know,
like, yeah.
I know what I'm getting myself into. Even for the Bible study we went to. Yes, we was there. Yes,
we was there for a minute. We
did like 10.
It was fun. It was a minute. We were there for a minute, bro.
And then they was still hanging around after.
Like, no, but we have to go, bro.
Like, but like, it, and it don't be like boring. Then it's like you can get why they hanging out afterward, but it's like we got shit to do.
Yeah.
Like it's like, yeah, I would, but I got homework.
That's when the white church kick in for us.
Yeah.
Like after it's time to go.
Oh yeah.
It's time to go. Dude,
that's why. Yeah, bro. Like if I got some shit to do, I'm going down to Sandy Springs.
Yeah.
And going to white church. Because, yeah, you know, then it's like I can time it, you know, it's like,
yeah, get there at 10:15, church done 11:15,
kickoff.
See,
you know,
you could go to white church and make the game.
Yep.
Turn on TV, they finna kick the ball off.
They'll be talking about the game in white church.
Yeah. You go to black church, bro. It's the second quarter, third quarter, halftime for you get back home.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's funny when I tell you things, and it's like, you're like, you be giving me that look, like, you know, you're right. Like, you're right.
I'm already knowing, bro. Mm-hmm. Grew up in it, bro. I was in the choir and everything when I used to live with my mom, bro.
That's what I be trying to tell. Like, you know, Amos and Jonah. And they be trying to say, like, oh, shit. You know, I just name dropped. You gotta cut that out. But, it was 3:04 when I said that. But, seriously, I don't like name drop.
Yeah, I got
that. But when, like, when people, will try to say, you know, stuff about me, you know, saying I'm acting a certain way or whatever, it's like, I don't be wrong.
Yeah. You be on point.
Like, I've had the experiences to warrant my behavior.
Sometimes, bruh, it's not... It's really, bro, it's just, they know it's the truth. They just don't be expecting it to come out your mouth. So that's why they think it's, like, fake.
Mm.
That's what it is. Because you be right, but it's just, like, a lot of times people be like, he right, but what the fuck he know? What he talking about? You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
Like that. That's what it is. Like, even with me, bro, like, I was at work when I used to drive for FedEx. I was at work with my, with my coworker, and he's like in his 50s, and he was playing some old David Ruffin, like, cause David Ruffin is a American singer that was with the group The Temptations. But he left the group in 69, I think, and started his solo career. So he was playing a song off his first album that I knew, but I was born in 2000. Meaning I shouldn't really know about old music. But my parents were older. Like, my mom was 30 when I was born. So it's like, you know, she put me on, like her, my dad, and my stepmom, they put me on the older music. So I said, oh, that's David Ruffin from one of his first albums when he went solo. And he looked at me. He was like, what? What you know about this? You don't know nothing about this. So it's just like what you said, bro. It's like, it's true. And they know it's true, but it just coming from you, they just don't expect it. So that's why it's hard to believe it. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know why it just popped into my head, bro, but do you ever, when people play old music, do you ever notice samples from current songs?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is crazy. I was at a Caucasian function for a graduation.
Yeah.
So, you know, we was drinking, you know, some beers, some brewskis. He was playing some country music. And I heard this country song that played. And this guy was like, oh, I was strung out in Denver and couldn't even remember her name. And, you know, Cold December by Rod Wave?
Mm-hmm.
The sample at the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
Denver. Like, that's the song.
Yeah.
And I was like, bro, like, that's fucking nuts. Like,
yeah.
How did...
Rod Wave also sampled Plain White Tees as well.
Oh, yeah, and By Your Side for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's just like that, like some old country song. And then I heard that, and it's like, I was at the same people's house. They're always playing, like, these country songs that I know from samples, but I heard it was a song by Dolly Parton and... Who's the guy that did The Gambler? Kenny Rogers. It was called Love Island.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard it and I recognized the hook for Ghetto Superstar.
Yeah.
Huh. And I was just like, oh, it's wild.
Yeah, it's lit.
Yeah,
bro. But yeah, man. But we gonna get up out of here. You know what I'm saying? Episode 6 is coming to you soon. We took a 2-week break, but we back on it. I promise. You know what I'm saying? We got Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon, and you got the visuals on YouTube. Tell your mama, and then tell your mama to tell your daddy. And your daddy gonna tell his homeboys he play pool with on the weekend. Then he gonna tell his side chick. Then his side chick gonna tell her bestie. And then her bestie gonna tell her nigga. And then her nigga gonna tell her boss. Gonna tell his boss. And then his boss gonna let corporate know what's going on. And then we gonna be up. And make sure y'all hit the like button and hit the subscribe button, bro. We got an Instagram at Wolfpack Media, TikTok Wolfpack Media. So get at us, bro. Y'all got some comments, leave a comment. You know, tell us what we doing right. Tell us what we doing wrong. You know what I'm saying? Because we here for all the positive criticism, bro. So just let us know. If you got some questions that want to be answered, hit the DM on IG at Wolfpack Media. You know what I'm saying? And if y'all want to see some other videos or some questions, Q&As or whatnot, just let us know, man. Once again, I'm Tori.
Jay.
Catch y'all next time.